Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Yud Beis. We are starting about the fourth line with the word Gufa. And today's daf is sponsored by Lilu Nishmas, Mars Merim Sarah Bas Yaakov Maisha, Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. And Lilu Nishmas, Mars Rivka Bas from Meir Zev, Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara says Gufa. The Gemara itself had stated previously, Raisan Ratzan Achar Metzia V'chulu. This is a quote from the Mishnah. If the fellow saw people running after Metzia, and it turned out that it was in his field, and he said, I want my field to be Zechin it for me. And Amr Biyomio, Amr Biyachanan, he commented on this. The only way the person's field is Zechin the Metzia for him is if he could run after the Metzia and get it before it leaves his field. And by Rabbi Yirmiyah had asked, Matana Heich, what about in the scenario of Matana? Meaning, let's say somebody took a deer with a broken leg, for example, and put it in Reuven's property and said, Reuven, I'm giving this to you as a Matana. Is Reuven's property kind of for him? Or does Reuven have to be able to chase this deer and get it before it hobbles out of his property? Similar to the case of Metzia. And Kibbul Mnei Rav Abar Kahana, Rav Abar Kahana accepted this distinction from him, meaning there is a difference between Metzia and Matana. And therefore, even though the Makabal Matana, Reuven in our example, is chasing after this deer that's hobbling away, and he's not going to be able to get it before it leaves his property, still, his property is kind of for him, because it's a Matana. And that's the end of the quote from yesterday. So by Rava asked the following question. Zark Arnki V'Pesach Zev V'Yotzo Pesach Acher. A person took his wallet, he was mafkir it, and threw it through the door of somebody's house, and it's going to go out the back door of the fellow's house if no one touches it. Mahu Watsa Halacha Avir She'ein Sofer L'Nuach K'munach Dami. Do we say that this airspace of the house that the wallet's flying through, which is considered Avir She'ein Sofer L'Nuach, the wallet's not going to end up resting in the airspace if no one does anything. It's going to fly out the back door. Do we still view it as Munach, as if it's resting? Or do we say that no, it's not like it's resting in the house because it's flying through the airspace of the house and it's never going to rest there. It's going to go out the back door. And therefore, the owner of the house does not acquire the wallet. Some of the popular Rava, or Papa told Rava, but Amrilon, some say it was Rav Adar Masal Rava, and Amrilon, some say it was Ravina Rava, Lavan Masnisen, isn't that our Mishnah? Ra is in Ratan Achar Metzia. He saw these people chasing after Metzia, let's say this deer with a broken leg, and Amr Biyarmi, Amr Biyachron, Vuhusharat Sachrain Magian, it has to be that he can catch the deer before it leaves his property in order for his property to become a deer for him. And Ubay Rabbi Yirmiyah had asked, Matana Heich, what about the case of Matana? Is it different? Does he have to be able to catch it? And Vikibul Mine, Rabbi Arbar Kahana accepted this from him, that Matana, when we're dealing with a gift, even though he's chasing after the deer and he's not going to be able to get it before it leaves his property, still his property is kind of for him. Same thing over here. Even though the wallet is going to fly out of his property before he gets it, because nothing's stopping his trajectory right now, still his chutzer, or his house, the airspace of his house, is kind of the wallet for him. So Amrale, Rava told him, whoever the him is, Mizgalgal Kamrit, you're talking about Mizgalgal, rolling, Shani Mizgalgal, the Kamunach Dami. When something's rolling, it's touching the ground, such as this deer, which is hobbling away, it's like it's Munach, and that's why when we're dealing with a Matana, even though the fellow is not able to catch it before it runs out of his property, his field or chutzer is kind of for him. But when something's flying through the air, that's not Kimunach Dami, and therefore the wallet case is different than this other example. And moving on to another Mishnah, continue to talk about a Metzia. Metzia's Benoyu Bita Aktanim, something that his son or daughter who are Aktanim found. Metzia's Avdev Shechasu Aknanim, something that his non-Jewish servant or maidservant found. Metzia's Ishtai, something that his wife found. Hare Ilu Shaloi, they all belong to him. And in the Gemara, we're going to explore why his son's Metzia belongs to him. We know that anything found by his Eved belongs to him because he owns the Eved, so it's like he found it. And anything his wife found also belongs to him because since he supports his wife, she has to give him her Metzias. And we're going to discuss that in the Gemara as well. However, Metzias Benoyu Bita Agdailim, something that his son or daughter or Agdailim found, or Metzias Adu Shechas HaEvrim, something that his Jewish servant or maidservant found, Metzias Ishtai Shegirsha Afal Pisha Loinas on Ksuba, the Metzia of his wife that he divorced, even though he did not yet pay her Ksuba, something that she found, Are Ilu Shelohen, this belongs to them. So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Shmuel explains, Bnei Ma Amr Metzias Katan La'aviv, why do we say that when a katan finds something, it automatically belongs to his father? Because the moment that he finds it, he quickly runs to his father and doesn't delay whatsoever. So obviously, he's intending to pick it up for his father. So that's why it belongs to his father, because he's picking it up for his father. Ask the Gemara, remember the Savar Shmuel Katan Lesley Zechiyon Nafshe Midaraisa? Does that mean to say that Shmuel holds that a katan is not able to be Zeich in something for himself Midaraisa? How could that be? Vatani, we have a bris that says, a person hired a worker to harvest his field, for him, for example. Yulakit Bnei Achrav, the worker's son is allowed to pick up leket after his father. His father's going around chopping down the wheat and some stalks are falling. That's classic leket. So the worker's son is allowed to pick them up. And that's 100% mutter. However, if the arrangement with the worker is that he receives half, a third, or a quarter of the field, so the worker's son is not allowed to pick up leket after him because the worker himself is considered a wealthy man. He's not an ani. He's receiving half, a third, or a quarter of the field. So in this situation, the son would not be allowed to take the leket. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, benkach, it doesn't make a difference. His son or wife is allowed to take the leket after him. Now, for Amar Shmuel said, and now here's the question. If you want to say that a katan does have zchiyah for himself, he could be kind of something himself. When he's taking the leket that falls during his father's harvesting, so he's taking that leket for himself. It's his. And now when he gives it to his father is zoiche from him. And it's even though his father is considered an usher and his father's not allowed to take leket, but the son is considered an ani, so the son is being zoiche in it for himself, and then he gives it to his father. But if you want to say that a katan is not able to be zoiche in something for himself, and the moment that he picks the leket up, it automatically belongs to his father, well, ki kamalake la'aviv kamalake. That means that when he's picking up the leket, it's going automatically to his father in avua usher who, his father's wealthy. And if so, amai ishtoi banav leket achrav, why is his son and wife allowed to gather leket after him? It must be that we say that a katan is able to be zoiche in something for himself. So this is a question in Shita Shmuel. So Gemara answers, Shmuel time the Tana didan ka'amar. Shmuel, the line from him that we start out the Gemara with, he's just explaining the Tana of our Mishnah, that when a katan picks up a mitziah, it goes to his father. But Shmuel himself does not hold to this, and he holds that a katan could be zoiche in something for himself. Namely, Shmuel would hold the Rabbi Yosi, and that would mean that if a katan picks up a mitziah, he's kind of for himself, and it doesn't go to his father. But now we continue asking, so Rabbi Yosi, katan is l'schil midaraisa? Does Rabbi Yosi really hold that a katan is able to be zoiche in something for himself midaraisa? But now we have Mishnah that says, mitziah chayr shayta v'katan, something found by a chayr shayta or katan, yeshman mishum gezel b'nei darkei shalom. There's an isser of gezel because of darkei shalom, which means you're not allowed to go over to the katan and grab this thing away from him because of darkei shalom. Wouldn't want to start a fight. In other words, midaraisa, it doesn't belong to the katan, and technically you can grab it from him. However, in order to maintain the peace, you're not allowed to grab it from him, and that would be considered gezel. Whereas Rabbi Yosi says gezel gomor. It's considered 100% gezel to take it from him. Vamar Rav Chisda. Chisda says gezel gomor midivrayan. Then when Rabbi Yosi says it's gezel gomor, it just means it's 100% gezel midrabanan. And nafkamina, what's the difference between the gezel midrabanan of the Tanakama and the gezel gomor midrabanan of Rabbi Yosi? Lo yitzibah dayanin. If we could take it away from this fellow who grabbed it from the katan with dayanim, according to Rabbi Yosi, we could. According to Tanakama, we can't. But either which way, we see from here that Rabbi Yosi holds that midaraisa, a katan cannot be zaycha in something. Seems to be a steer in Shitas Rabbi Yosi. So Alam Rabbaya, by answers, you're right. Why is in the case of the leket that his son is allowed to take the leket as his father's harvesting, even though he doesn't have zchia, and it's like his father's being zaycha in it right away? And again, his father's an usher, so his father's not allowed to take leket? And the answer is, asa'ua kamin shahol chuban amushais. We treat this as if the amushais already went through this field, and we're going to explain this in a moment. Da'anim gufayu mischi da'atayu, because anim themselves are mesiach das from this field. Savri, they think to themselves, b'rei de'heyach malaktile, that this guy's son already took it, so there's no point in us going in. And what we just said is as follows. We know that only anim are allowed to take leket shechem peah. And there's a Mishnah Maseches Peah that tells us that once the nemushas go through the field, and these nemushas are the last stragglers, the very last anim to go through, after that, all the anim are miyais from finding anything else, because they know the field is really cleared out, and from then on, meaning once these nemushas go through, anything left inside is hefker for all. And that's what we're saying over here. Since all the anim know that the son of the guy who's harvesting the field is following after him to pick up the leket, so this son is considered like nemushas, because they assume that he picks up everything that his father drops, and they give up hope of finding anything else in this field, and that's why the son's allowed to take it. Again, not because it's leket and the son's allowed to take leket for his father, he's not allowed to. We're saying it's not considered leket anymore. It's completely hefker, and that's why the son's allowed to take it, and the father's zaychin it automatically. However, Amar Rabbi Masal Habayi, he asked Habayi, "B'chi motel adam laharbet sari b'sech tadeu?" Is a person allowed to place a lion crouching in his field, kadeshi yuranim v'yivrchu, so that anim should see the lion and run away and not take leket shechan peah? And that's exactly what this guy's doing. He's bringing his son there, and because his son is there, all the anim are going to give up hope. It's like a lion is there. That shouldn't be mutter. So Amar Rava. Rava gives a different answer. The reason why the son's allowed to gather the leket, yud bezon bezon on the top, also she'eno zeiche kezeiche. We treat somebody over here who really is not able to be zeiche like he is zeiche, meaning this katan. My time, why is that? Because anim gufayu nichaluhu. The anim themselves are actually okay with the fact that the son is gathering the leket. Why? Ki hechid yichi agri liditu, so that when they themselves are hired out by somebody, nilkut benayu basrayu, their sons are able to come and gather the leket after them, so they're okay with somebody else doing it, so that they could do the same thing. And so that's the reason why the son is allowed to gather the leket. Now we go back to Shita Shmuel, upli the Rebbe Chiya Abba, Shita Shmuel is not like Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, Dom Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rebbe Yechanan, Loi Gadol Gadol Mamish, Loi Katan Katan Mamish. When our Mishnah says that if a Gadol picks up a Mitziah, he gets to keep it, but when a Katan picks up a Mitziah, it goes to his father, we're not talking about an actual Gadol over Bar Mitzvah and an actual Katan under Bar Mitzvah. El Gadol V'samachal Shulchan Aviv Zehu Katan. If he's a Gadol, he's over Bar Mitzvah, but he relies on his father pays all of his expenses and he eats at his father's table, so that's considered a Katan. And Katan V'ein V'samachal Shulchan Aviv, if it's a Katan but he's not relying on his father, the father's one of those old school parents who kicked the kid out of the house at 8 years old and told him to go work for his own keep, so Zehu Gadol, that's considered a Gadol, and when he finds a Mitziah, he gets to keep it himself. So we're not actually talking about Katan and Gadol, and therefore when we say Mitziah is Katan La'aviv, it means just a Mitziah of a child who's relying on his father, whose father's supporting him, so that goes to the father. Okay, to explain the Mishnah, we had said Mitziah's Adiv Shechasar Ivrim Harei Hu Shel Atman, then the Mitziah of his Jewish servant, maidservant, it belongs to them and not to the master. Ask the Gemara, why would that be? La'yeh el-kapayel. They should just be treated like a pile, like a worker. But Tanya, we have a bride, so we had this previous. previously, Metzias Pael Atmai, if a Pael finds something, a worker finds something, it belongs to him, Pamedra Amurim. But one was that said was Mancha Amar Loi, that's only if the Baal Bayis told the worker, Nacheshi Mi Ayoim, Adri Mi Ayoim, weed with me today, dig with me today. And that's because they were hired for a specific job, and finding Metzia is not part of that job description, so the Pael's allowed to keep the Metzia. Aval Amar Loi, but if the Baal Bayis told the Pael, Asay Imi Malach Ayoim, do work with me today, whatever work it is, you got to do that for me. Metzia also the Baal Bayis. So something he finds belongs to the Baal Bayis. That's the same thing with the Jewish servant and maidservant. They were purchased by the master to do any sort of work for him. And that should include a metziah that they find, and that should belong to the Baal Bayis and not to them. So he answers, over here we're talking about an Eved who has a very unique job. He knows how to make holes in pearls, which is an extremely high-paying job and requires a lot of skill. His master does not want him to go do another malacha, meaning his master doesn't want him to go be metapa with a metziah that he might find. And therefore, it's not part of his job description. What happens to be this Eved Ivri finds a metziah, he's allowed to keep it for himself, because the master never intended for him to pick a metziah for him. Whereas Rava Amar Rava says, we're talking about something different. We're talking about that he picked up a metziah with his work. Let's say the master told him, go schlep wood from here to there. And as he's schlepping the wood, he finds a metziah. And so he just simply bends down and scoops up the metziah and continues going. So he's not making his master lose out on anything. And therefore that goes to him and not to his master. Whereas Rav Papa says, this braisa that talks about hiring a worker and whether the metziah goes to the Baal Bayis or to the worker is talking about something different. Kagan, for example, we're talking about where the master hired the worker to collect metziahs, to collect found objects. That's why these metziahs belong to the master. What would that situation be? Where the pond overflowed, and when the water dried up, there was a whole bunch of fish laying there that anybody could take. That's considered a metziah, and that's why it belongs to the Baal Bayis. In other words, according to Papa, this is what the Bryce is talking about. If the fellow was hired for a random job like weeding or digging, then he keeps any metziah that he finds. But if his job description was to gather metziahs, like these fish, then they belong to the Baal Bayis. And it's the same thing with Eved Ivri. As long as he wasn't bought specifically to gather metziahs, anything he finds belongs to him and not to the master. And continue to explain, we ask the following question. What's a situation where we have a Jewish maidservant that's still working for a master, but she gets to keep her metziahs? If she had already brought two sires, meaning she's already 12 years old, my bai gabe, what's she doing by her master? He should have set her free. And if she didn't bring two sires yet, and that's why she's still working by the master, well, if she still has a father, whatever she finds belongs to her father, like what the Mishnah said. And if she doesn't have a father, meaning her father died, so she should have been set free from her master because her father died. Dharma Shlakish says, in Amma Ivriya, the Jewish maidservant, she acquires herself from the Rishus of her master through the death of her father based off of a Kavachimer, which we're not going to get into right now. So how do we ever have a situation where we have an Amma Ivriya still working for a master who still has a father, but she's allowed to keep her metzias? Mamanav Shach, if she has a father, her metzias should go to her father. And if she doesn't have a father, well, Rish Lakish says that she should have been set free. So Gemara asks on this question, Vlavi Tas Rish Lakish, didn't we already disprove Rish Lakish? And we already showed that even if her father died, she still would work for her master. So what's the problem? And so we could be talking about where her father died and she's still with her master and she found a metziah, and so she gets to keep that metziah in place of her father and she doesn't have to give it to the master. So Gemara says, if that's really so, name it mehai nami tavet yofta. Let's say this is actually another disproof to Rish Lakish's shita. So Gemara says, lo, that's not so. Lo elam diisel av. We could really say that she still has a father. Umay harei hein shalohen. What does it mean that this metziah belongs to them? Lafuki deraba. It's just excluding that it doesn't go to her master. It doesn't mean that it belongs to her. It actually belongs to her father. It just means that it doesn't belong to her master. I continue to explain the mission. We had said metzias ishtoi, that if he had divorced his wife but had not yet paid her ksuba, and then his wife found something, she could keep it. Ask the Gemara, gersha pshita. If he had divorced already, it's obvious she could keep her own metzias. What's the chiddush? So Gemara answers, hachamaiskin. What are we talking about over here? B'megreshes ve'in megreshes. She's divorced, but she's not divorced, which means she's suffic divorced. Darm Rav Zeira Amar Shmuel. Kol makom shamar chacham megreshes ve'in megreshes. Anytime the chacham say that a woman's in a state that she's partially divorced, partially not, meaning she's besuffic divorced, balachayim zaynaseha, her husband still has to support her. He still has to pay for her food. And therefore, time of my Amar Rabbanan Metzias Yishalabayla, why is it that Rabbanan said that usually when a husband and wife are married, if a wife finds something, she has to give it to her husband, so he shouldn't hate her and have animosity towards her. He's going to say, I don't understand. I work hard all day. She takes all of my money, spends it at the mall with her friends, and then she finds something expensive on the floor and she gets to keep it and will get upset at her. So that's why we say that since he supports her, she has to give him her Metzia. But Hacha over here, that she's partially divorced, partially not, Isla Eva Ve'eva, he already has hatred for her, so it doesn't make a difference. And therefore the Chamim allow her to keep her own Metziah. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And moving on to another Mishnah, Matzah Shtar Chayv. Let's say Beryl is walking down the street and he finds a Shtar Chayv that says that Reuven owes Shimon $100. So does he return it? So it depends. If there's a Chayz Nechasim, which means if Reuven's properties are leaned to Shimon in the Shtar, lo yachzir, he shouldn't return it. Shebezin in front of Mehen, because Bezin is going to collect from Reuven. Whereas if there's no Chayz Nechasim, Reuven's properties properties are not leaned to pay for this loan. So Yachzir, Beryl is allowed to return the shtar, she'ein bezin in front of mehen, because bezin is not going to collect them. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Or as Chamar, the Chamim say, ben kach ben kach, it doesn't make a difference if there's a chayes nechasim, if there's not a chayes nechasim. Lo Yachzir, Beryl shall not return the shtar, mebnei shebezin in front of mehen, because bezin will collect based off of this. So the Gemara asks, Mayaskinon, what are we talking about over here? What's this whole situation referring to? Elim, if you want to say, shechayev maideh, that the one who's chayev, Ruvain, is maideh, that he owes the money. So kiyesh ben a chayes nechasim, amai lo Yachzir, even though there's a chayes nechasim, and Ruvain's properties are on lien to pay for this loan, still, why shouldn't Beryl return the shtar to Shemin? Hamaideh, Ruvain's agreeing that he owes the money. And if he shein chayev maideh, if you want to say that the chayev one, Ruvain, is not being maideh, and he claims, for example, that I already paid you back, so kiyesh ben a chayes nechasim, amai Yachzir, even if there's no a chayes nechasim, why should Beryl return the shtar to Shemin? Nei deloy gavim mishabdi, you're right, maybe we're not going to be able to collect for this loan from Meshubadim, from properties that were already leaned to this loan, but Mnei Chayri Megva Gavi, Shimon would be allowed to collect from free property, meaning property that Ruvain still currently has in his possession that he hadn't sold. And if the Chayiv, Ruvain, is not being Maida that he owes the money, so why should we be allowed to return the Shtar to Shimon? So Gemara says, you're right, La'olam Shechayiv Maida. Really, we're talking over here where Ruvain, the Chayiv one, is Maida that he owes the money. So why should the Shtar not be allowed to be returned in all situations? V'hachanu Taima, what's the situation over here? The Chashin and Shemakas of Lovas Benison, V'loy Lava Tishrei. Our Chashash is that the Shtar that we have here was written with the intention that the loan was going to take place during Nisan, and that's the date that was written on the shtar, Nisan, but the money wasn't actually loaned until Tishrei, 6 months later, basically much of Lekuchas Shalai Kedin, and then we're going to end up unlawfully taking property away from Lekuchas. I mean, how does a Chayes Nechasim work? So let's say Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Sunday. From that day and on, from Sunday, any property that Reuven has is on lien to pay for the loan. So let's say on Monday, Reuven sells one of these properties to somebody else, and now Shimon wants to collect his loan, and Reuven doesn't have any money. Shimon can go to the Lekuchas, the one that bought that property, and take it away from him because it was really leaned to Shimon's loan before it was bought. And so that's what we're afraid of over here. This shtar had the date Nisan written in it, so we're assuming that that's when the loan took place. But maybe the loan didn't take place until Tishrei 6 months later. And that would mean that if we're going to collect based off of the shtar, that any properties which Reuven sold between Nisan and Tishrei are going to be taken away by the Baal Chayv, by Shimon, when really he's not allowed to take them away because the money wasn't actually lent until Tishrei. So that's the Gemara Yachiv, if that's really what you're chashish for, call shtar to Asla Kaman. Any shtar that comes in front of us that says that Reuven owes Shimon money, Nechshlu Hachi, want to be chashish for the same thing. Then maybe the date on the shtar isn't when the actual halva took place. So Gemara says no. Kol shtar Eloi Rei. All other shtaris don't have a Rei Asa. They don't have this big question mark, this big doubt. Hani Rei, but these do have a Rei Asa. Why is it? Because he found them. And if this was really a valid shtar, the guy probably wouldn't have dropped them. So since there's this Rei Asa, this doubt in regards to the shtar, this big question mark, whether or not the shtar is valid, so then we're able to say, what's this question mark? Oh, maybe it was written in Nisan, but the loan didn't take place until Tishrei. But a standard shtar that doesn't have this question mark wouldn't have to be chashish that. And we're stopping for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow, continuing to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.